Welcome to Our Favorite Things podcast, hosted by your fave Nigerian best friend duo, Tiesa.
And your girl, Mofi. Our show is a space for Black folks in the diaspora and at home to feel warm, seen, and informed through conversations about life, community, and a bit of social critique.
Come for our faves, stay for the laughs. Hey guys, welcome back to the podcast. Thanks for hanging with us again today. Thank you for listening. We hope you're doing well. If you're new here, thanks for stopping by. Hope you stay. And if not, welcome back. Thanks for consistently coming back to listen. We've got a great episode for you today. Can't wait for you to hear it. So let's get right into it. Mofi, how are you doing?
I am doing okay. You know, so this morning I was kind of reflecting on the fact that, like, we've reached that age in life where even if you have, like, one glass of alcohol, you're hungover.
Bruh, it's irritating. It's irritating. And I'm never drinking again.
And I swear, I was thinking, I was like, is it even worth it anymore? Like, is drinking alcohol worth it? Because you can't even, like, mess around and be like, you know what? Let me have a wild night because...
I'm crazy.
You would wake up the next morning struggling, like, fighting for your life. And it's not fair.
It's not fair. Like, these days, if I know I want to drink... As in, I would like to consume more than one glass. I, like, have to start early.
Interesting.
Like, I have to start early. When I was just... I just got back from Barcelona, and there was definitely quite a bit of drinking involved because, you know, Spanish wine, and we had this person who was just bringing cocktails to our room. But I swear I had to start drinking at, like, 5 or 6. So that by 11, I'm not trying to fit 3 glasses of wine in at dinner because I'm not going to wake up. I'm going to wake up struggling. What have you become?
It's not fair because I remember when I was a lot younger, like in my early 20s, maybe even late teens, to be fair. And I had friends that were like in their mid to late 20s and they would like complain about this. And I just could not like fathom how that's a real thing. Like,
and also we got there fairly quickly, seemingly quickly, right? Like, I think I didn't realize I had gotten there until like it hit me. And I was like, whoa, I'm here in this place that people complain about. When did I get here?
So I'm just trying not to drink alcohol anymore. Like, at this point, the risk does not, like, the reward of, like, the being reward. Drunk and being happy does not, like, it doesn't pay off because the next day you're just like, I hate my life, I can't do anything. And the sad part of adulting is that you have to, like, do things.
You have things to do. It doesn't make sense. Like, I remember talking to bringing this up at dinner and being like, yo, you guys, you know, alcohol is actually a toxin. Like, is it toxin in my body? Like, I get it, it's nice, it's enjoyable, woo, times, but I'm starting to weigh the, you know, the pros and the cons.
It's not fair. Adults deserve to have fun too.
We but do.
Yeah,
we
so do. Me on 2 glasses. Actually, I felt okay, but I had like Prosecco and woke up in the morning and I was like, I'm okay because I didn't have a lot to drink. Intentionally, yeah. I was like, I'm not going out this Friday night because I don't want to drink I want my Saturday to be like, I want to feel like a human being on Saturday. Yeah. But even like, I know I feel a bit like lightheaded. Like, I don't feel like 100% myself. I'm like, Mofi of the younger days, she'll be like, she'll be gagging at me right now being like, all right, bitch, is this you?
Nah, it's crazy. But that, I tend to stay away from bubbly for that reason, though. I've actually found that one I have even less tolerance for, you know, the next day. But yeah, and one old fashioned, 2 glasses of wine. I have my limits these days. Like, that's it. I don't know. If I'm drinking more than that, then I'm just ready for Wahala the next morning.
This life, no balance.
No balance. No balance. All you youngins there that are drinking freely.
Enjoy.
How does it feel to be God's favorite?
Literally. Literally.
Oh, man.
But how are you doing?
Yo, I'm good. I'm doing really well. Today, my week has just been, like I said, I just got back from Barcelona, so I've been battling with jet lag. So my week has just been me struggling to keep my eyes open and to be like a present and somewhat productive employee. So I'm really happy. Like, I just spent all week trying to count down to Saturday to Friday. Like yesterday at almost 3 p.m., I passed out on my floor. Like,
really?
I was.
Oh my gosh.
That was the extent of it. Like, I had left my desk. I don't know if y'all do this, but when I'm working from home, I move around in my house a lot. So I went from my desk to my floor and I was like, okay, let me see if a different like setup will help me finish this thing.
Oh my goodness.
It's the way I knocked out. At some point, I woke up and I went to my bed and then I slept for like the next 3 hours. But Why was I that tired? Why was I that tired? Anyway, it's the weekend. My roommates and I are going go-karting in a few hours. And nice. Yeah, it's sunny. It's beautiful. I just want to enjoy the day.
Oh, I love that. Stares into like...
Stares into the distance. You're like, maybe I will have a drink.
I thought about it, you know, if you listen to last time's episode, the whole tea and Ciroc stuff, I was like, what if I just pour a shot of Ciroc into my tea right now? But I decided not to because, again, life. But that sounds fun. Go-karting, it's been a while since I've heard like folks go-karting.
It's been a while since I've gone go-karting. Generally, it's not like as if it thrills me or something, you know, it's just like, you know, one round around the course, whatever, it's cool, and then I'm ready to hop out. But people that be doing, like, you know, they want to be there for an hour, hour and a half. For what? Yeah, so it's just like we're celebrating Zah's birthday, so thought it could be, she wanted to go go-karting, so.
That's sweet.
Should be fun.
That's sweet. I love that. For our episode this week, I'm really excited, actually, because we are going to be talking about essentially just like, you know, International Women's Day, Women's Month, and even just talking about kind of going along similar theme around talking about work, but in a different way. So talking about like entrepreneurship, what does work look like today, even when we kind of incorporated talking about women and breaking biases and all of that stuff. And we also have a guest. So we have a friend of the pod joining us to just talk, share her thoughts and also maybe share a little bit of her work. So Salem is coming to the podcast. Salem is a human rights lawyer. She's an anthropologist and a writer as well. So I'm excited for you guys to listen in on the conversation and maybe just hear our perspectives and learn a thing or two. Hey, Salem, welcome to our favorite pods. I think this is like your podcast debut on here for us. So we're quite excited to have you on.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be on. As a listener, I am geeking out because I'm like, I love you all so much. And now I get to be here. So, yeah.
Whoa. Oh my gosh.
I love
We're
it.
So shy.
So shy. What?
Like, it just got hotter in here all of a sudden. But yeah, thanks for joining us. Welcome to the podcast. To kind of just get a sense of your temperature, we just want to know like how you're doing and if you could use a color to describe your mood and then just tell us a little bit about that.
So I think I will go with pink and a hot pink. Mostly because that's right behind Tessa's head in the as like looking straight across. The picture behind you just really screamed my mood internally and reflected that back to me. So I would say hot pink. Like I'm feeling spicy, I'm feeling energized, I'm feeling very bold and bright today.
I love it.
I love that.
Thank you.
Oh, I'm feeling bold and bright, so honestly.
I love that.
I'm tapping into all of the brightness, all of the boldness. What's the weather like in Alabama?
Okay, you know what? It's been about 60, 70 degrees this whole week. But today, I woke up and it was 35 degrees. And I was just like, excuse me, I was not ready for this.
Literally, like, who asked for this?
Right. And like, you know, usually when it's winter, I check my weather app every day just to make sure that, you know, what the weather is going to be like. But this week I just gotten used to warm mornings, so me going outside in the morning to just go do my 10 minutes of yoga confidently in my, you know, silk pajamas that I went to bed in, I had to run back inside immediately because I was like, not in this 30 degree weather, please. We can't.
Yeah, no.
The weather has been so disrespectful. This winter has been hella disrespectful. For the 2 minutes I've been here for it, it's been like, like, yeah, why?
I feel like that's a shock to your body because, you know, you haven't really been in the middle of winter all through the winter. So you're just kind of coming in right in the middle of things.
Yes, my body is indeed shocked. It's like, what is going on here? But earlier this week, in when we're recording, it's you know, it was International Women's Day, and you know, we wanted to just maybe chat a little bit about that, get Salomon to share a bit of her perspectives with us around International Women's Day. So to just kind of kick that off, what is the relevance of IWD to you folks? So Salim, I'll just have you start first as our guest.
Yeah. So I think for me, it's evolved over the years. Like when I first came into the kind of work that I do, which was in the gender world, like women's, you know, days like International Women's Day and in general, Women's History Month was so important as like work opportunities because even in those times, like the times have changed so much in the last, I guess, 10 to 11 years that I've been doing this work. But in those times, it was, that was the window of time where you could talk about women's issues. So it was very much like, okay, yeah, you're going to talk about like sexual assault, rape, like, you know, gender equity, maternal mortality, like all of these things. We had this small window of time where people would kind of be open to listening to what's going on with women in the world and, you know, locally and globally. So that was kind of how its initial relevance to me. But I think as I have grown into my own womanhood, it has become a celebration of myself, my survival, and my community. You know, I have so many women friends. Most of my, I would probably say about like 95% of my friends are women and the people who I associate with on the regular. And so, and, you know, I have a really close relationship with my mom and my auntie. So these kinds of holidays now just feel like an opportunity to spend a little bit more time reflecting on my journey to womanhood so far, like listening to stories about other women who are part of my, you know, my close community and celebrating them. And just taking time to be grateful for my own growth and the growth and the trajectory of where women are in the world today. Like we're still not where we could be and we're still not where we should be. But I think just what I've seen in the last decade, I'm like, oh, there's progress.
Yeah. All said. For me, when did I even realize that this was a thing that we started celebrating? I don't know, maybe in the last like 5-6 years or something. I think that I was really conscious of it. I think for me, it started out as an opportunity to just like learn, because I feel like, as you said, Salem, there was a lot of very like saturated information about maybe like women in history. Like you find out that like, oh, this woman was actually behind the invention of this or the like rollout of this, and no one ever knew her name and all of that. So I think that's really how I've engaged with it over the years. It's just an opportunity to like learn and to gain knowledge. Obviously that's not the only month I can nor should be doing that, but I feel like that's just when all of that information is just like in my face. But I think same way in the last 2 years or so, I think it's really been an opportunity to just celebrate the community of women around me, like in my kind of more inner circle, and just, I don't know, almost be in a place of like, not almost, but being a place of gratitude, I think, to be surrounded by such amazing women and to learn from them and to kind of be in community with them and do life with them. So that's how it feels for me. Yeah.
I feel like I have a bit, I don't know how I feel about it in general. I came into this kind of similarly, maybe a couple of years ago, 5-6 years ago, where like, you know, it started becoming a recognition of women, especially transitioning into the professional field. I think that's where like it started becoming more prominent, because you'd notice that your employers want to share some stuff, or your employers are like trying to like come up with like strategies or whatever the case might be around highlighting women at work. So that was where like it really, really stood out for me to begin with. But over the years, I've been kind of, it's been hard for me to really know how to align myself with like with days like this, or with like recognitions like this, where sometimes it feels like the global nature of it is not intersectional. So, like, you have to be a certain type of woman to almost fit into what is being celebrated globally. Like, I'm sure, I'm assuming in many communities, they then tailor the day to, like, the community need. But if you go on websites or if you see what panels are there, I find it very exclusive. And so sometimes I don't know how to feel proud of celebrating a day like International Women's Day or, that's what it's called. Yeah, International Women's Day, when if you are a trans woman, women that are being celebrated would question your identity or your belonging into this group of being women. You know, so sometimes I feel quite embarrassed, if I'm being honest, to be like, not to be a woman, because that's not essentially what it is, but it feels upsetting that womanhood sometimes feels like an exclusionary group now. And where I think of, you know, the intention behind, say, like, feminism, or even, like, on feminism being a social movement that has grown, is that the intention really, in my mind, is to fight oppression, is to fight oppressive practices, is to dismantle the patriarchy, and even, like, dismantle systems that have given men and given the patriarchy the space to exist. And over the years, I think that somehow it's almost becoming an oppressive tool in itself.
Yes.
So that's kind of where I'm at. So when I see it, it's exciting, obviously, like, as a woman, and, you know, in my circles and in my communities with the women that, like, that support me and that are my people, I feel very proud and blessed. But when I think of it on a global scale, I'm just like, what exactly are we doing? You know, what exactly is this all about? Right. If, like, in 2022, we're not even centering the voices of the most marginalized, we're not talking about the issues of a lot of the most marginalized people, and we just want to continue pushing capital and people that only have access. So that's kind of like my rant and my thoughts around the day. This week has been really, like, upsetting in some ways, especially like if you're on Nigerian Twitter. So, like, I just wanted to rant a little bit, honestly.
Yeah, I think that there's the biological essentialism of, you guys are going to make me pull out my theory card, but, like,
pull it out. We love to see it.
Like, the biological essentialism that surrounds these kinds of holidays that center only, like, you know, women with vaginas as, like, women, and, you know, women with vaginas who are interested or intending to reproduce, because that's who society really values that. And the reason why society really values them is they can contribute people who can work for free and continue this, like, cyclical system of oppression, right? And so there's a certain type of woman that's celebrated. It's the girl boss. It's the mom. It's, you know, there's a kind. If you're a sex worker, like, sex workers aren't really celebrated on these kinds of holidays. You know, they're not centered. If you're a trans woman, you're not really centered. And so there's a piece of that that I think really needs to be addressed in a large-scale way, because, like you said, while in our internal communities and in our internal circles, we can center, show care, and highlight these things, when the UN or, you know, these big international organizations are putting these type of campaigns together, the hashtag is always going to be something like break the bias, you know, just this year, but, like, something so generic and so non-specific enough that it's not really going to create any internal impact. And so, like, what does it look like to kind of, for us to be ready to have deeper conversations about womanhood than biological essentialism, right? Like, that is a question that brews for me often. I think another thing I was going to piggyback off what you said was, with these kinds of holidays as well, we often center, like, performative, capitalistic ways of being.
Every year.
When organizations are like, oh, we love women. But then you yourself was a woman who has worked with that organization.
You know your ass ain't loved.
Yeah, you know that you're not loved. You know that, like, you're very, like, you're treated easily, disposably, you're disrespected, you're not paid equally, and you're just sitting there and have to watch your organization come back and be like, oh, we love women. Like,
meanwhile, they'll find like 5 women in the organization to be like, what do you, you know, talk about why you love working here, right, as a woman, or something, right, cringy like that.
Right.
That
or just like balance. Right. Like, how are you able to juggle all the balls in your life? Why don't you ask Sam that? Like, why don't you ask that to Peter? How he's able to juggle all the balls in his life? Because Peter is a man and has 5 children. How does he do it? You know, but it's like these reductive, dumb questions that position women as either as like super women or as like incapable people who are just trying to make it and slowly getting breadcrumbs of progress wherever we can, which are both very reductionist. I'm gonna stop there for now.
Yeah.
But actually, no. Sorry, I'm not gonna stop there for now. I think this is also why I really enjoyed this year. I don't know if you all saw this, but there was this gender equity bot on Twitter.
Yes.
And it has every organization that was like, shout out to our women. The bots would retweet with what the pay gap was within the organization. So for those who didn't see that, it was fascinating because then all these orgs had to start doing damage control that they didn't plan to do because they were held accountable.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of, you know, I was like, I wish I can refer some orgs to this bot because I know some orgs that are just very, even in that basic way, compensate men and women differently.
Yeah. Yeah. I do wish the bot was, I mean, no, that person, whoever is behind that, you're doing fabulous work. Thank you. I'm not saying, I don't want to undermine the work, but I know it was focused mainly like in the UK. I think it was organizations in the UK. I honestly wish they had the capacity to be, even if to jump to the US or just to be a bit more global, especially like, I'm not bring up Nigeria because all those ads I was seeing, I really wanted to honestly wanted to. Oh god,
no, those ads are terrible.
Those ads are so bad.
Cringe. And I think that's something that happens, you know, where the international community and local communities often are not the same.
No,
so like when we never be. Right, we want to talk about what is gender equity, and I hate, okay, first of all, I hate gender equality because whenever someone calls equality, I'm just like, I literally cannot be equal to a man. Like, it's not that, that's not even what I want. What I want is equity. As a woman who wants to have children, my partner and I will never share the load of creating a family equally. Like, that's not ever going to be our reality because he doesn't get to carry children, you know. And if I want to partner with a man, I'm not partnering with someone, unless they're trans man, I'm not partnering with someone who can carry a child. And so what does that look like to kind of flip our switch from equality to equity. How we think and how we speak? And then in the Nigerian context, like, that looks very different from the UK context, from the US context. And so even the language we're using when we're trying to fit into this break the bias hashtag that has been given us by this IWD banner, it's like, what does bias even mean to like a market woman in Nigeria? Like, what is she thinking of as bias? Because that's not what the Western world is thinking of as bias, right? And so how do we translate those things or like not translate those things, and how can we be honest about what the needs are domestically, locally, and internationally?
Well said. I would love, like, I'm like, I would love to have an episode just particularly talking about gender, about feminism, about like womanhood or womanness even as a whole, and just like seeing where these conversations really could continue to go. How we can, as you say, like talk about all of these things on more like micro levels, because we lose so much when it's so broad. And I'm also really done with all of these like hashtags that come out of like IWD. It's I don't know if it's the only like day of recognition where like all of these like wild hashtags come up. Like it's just, and I know, I think it kind of happens for Black History Month. They started doing it for Black History Month now.
Oh,
when
really?
They're like, I don't know, Black Futures Month or like Black something. And I just hate it all. I'm just like, I understand the intention to an extent, but at the same time, I think it just really speaks to the commercialization of what needs to be done and capital at the end of the day. Why is it snowing again?
Can I say something to the hashtag? So I think I would disagree a little bit, only because I think the hashtag by themselves, what the hashtags say are what I have a problem with. The hashtag existing, I find really, really helpful because in a way, like, it exposes the gap globally. So I love kind of reading through hashtags. Like, what, when someone is posting about Black History Month in the UK, in the US, and on the continent, what do they actually mean? Are they talking about the same thing? And if you go through the hashtag and see people on the continent posting about the hashtag, it helps you understand, like, where they're coming from when they think about that. You know, and so when you see, like, break the bias, even though I hated that particular, because it didn't really mean anything, but when it kind of creates global connection and can facilitate global conversation in a way that I feel sometimes can be embarrassing, because you're just, especially if you get on a famous hashtag and you see, like, some Nigerian has gotten on there, and it's, like, the most ignorant Nigerian person who's, like, on there, and then they're just like, in my country, Nigeria, blah, 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 and you're just like, oh, my God, like, I don't even want to be Nigerian like this person. But in a way, like, it exposes that there's still work to be done. It exposes that, for me, sometimes my bubble can feel very progressive and very safe. And so in getting out of that, I'm like, oh, yeah, there are people who still think this way, and there are people who genuinely believe these things to be true. And I think that's a reality check that sometimes we need. Even though sometimes it's very unsafe. And so that has to be an individual thing of how am I going to engage with this, with this hashtag, in a way that doesn't trigger me, in a way that doesn't cause me harm. And if I have the capacity to engage with it in a way that opens my eyes to how other people are thinking about this, then it can be helpful.
Great point.
Hey y'all, it's Mophie here. Just hoping not to quickly say that this is where we are ending this topic discussion for this episode. We will bring you part two of our conversation with Salem at the next episode, which should be coming out a week after this one drops, where we'll be talking the future of work, 9-to-5 versus entrepreneurship, where we are all situated on those conversations and what we would ideally love to see from our work and our working style. So stick around and look out for that episode when it comes out.
Okay, well, we're going to transition to one of my favorite parts of the episode, which is where we share our favorite things. And it's going to be a bit different today because we're going to have Salem also sharing some of her favorite things from the past week. So without further ado, I actually get really stressed out when people say that, but without further ado, Salem, can you share your highlights?
So, favorite things. Favorite book, The Sex Life of African Women, North American Publishing imprint, came out this month. So I have been diving into that. It's fascinating. Nana is just a wonderful writer, and all the stories in there so far are incredible. No one has ever centered, that's not true. She called me women really centered, like the sex life of queer African women. So that I was going to say, no one has centered the sex lives of African women before in writing. And I was like, that's a lie. but outside of, like, She Called Me Women, which was really revolutionary when it came out, like, Nana has also done that work. And Nana has been doing this for at least a decade. And so from her blog, so it's nice to see someone whose blog you were reading a decade ago, like, grow and become a book. So that's something I've been loving right now. So music, I have been loving, is, I think the song came out last year, but it's like this Everything You Put Your Hand Go Work song. And it's just,
yes, by Timi Dakolo, I think.
Yes. And I don't know why that song has had a chokehold on me this week. I think I just needed that reminder that, especially as we get closer to some big work milestones, that, you know, there's blessings waiting all around coming my way. So I just love that reminder through that song. Love yeah, that. I feel like those are two of my faves this week.
Aww. Nice. Yeah. Thanks for sharing with us.
Thank you.
Mophie, what are you loving?
First of all, I'm going to now play that song too as soon as we're done rapping.
Oh, same. Yes.
We have to manifest things out here.
Please. Yes. The blog to book. I'm manifesting.
Yes.
A few of my stuff. I just finished watching Inventing Anna, so been really interesting, especially after seeing a lot of the way that people are talking about it on social media. It was interesting to watch for myself. I mean, it was entertaining. I think after the first episode or first two episodes, the middle part where it was really, really captivating mm-hmm, for me. Mm-hmm. The one thing that I don't see a lot of narrative around though is how she was also really struggling. As much as is this boss babe again that is creating her reality, and it's important to all of these terms fake it till you make it, or just even own your shit. I think mm-hmm. there's great value in being able to talk about just own it, really, especially as women and as Black women as well. But at the same time, all the stuff she was doing was causing her great harm, and I think it also comes from a place of what she had experience growing up and stuff like that. So yeah, it wasn't even just this glamorized thing, which is how I see it being talked about on the internet. Mm-hmm. So that was shocking to me. I was like, why isn't anybody talking about this? But okay, sure, let's all be an Anna Delvey or something.
Yeah, I know, right? So I'm just me too. I was seeing people tweet about it, I'm like, okay, I'm experiencing it in one way, and then I'm jumping into watching it with my roommates and I'm like, bruh, there's so much more. There's so much more nuance to this. This woman is struggling. There's nothing glamorous about this. This is unbelievable. She's not even scamming in a way that is I don't know. But it just was a lot going on. Anyway, I agree that it's quite captivating, quite intriguing.
Yes. And then there's this new Disney Pixar movie that's coming out this weekend called Red Door. Yes. And I am so excited.
I can't wait to watch it.
Yes, me too.
I saw the trailer and I was like, yes.
So exciting. It's based in Toronto as well, so it feels really, really nice to see a little bit of Toronto references here and there. What else? I just started following this new Instagram account called The Canadian African. She's a Ghanaian woman that does food recipes and just history about food from a West African perspective. So she cooks a lot with a lot of West African ingredients and gives a lot of teaching and lessons and history behind food and stuff. And really, it's just some educative and captivating stuff.
Yeah.
And then the last thing is there's a new song that came out. It's called Taken by two young Nigerian artists. Their names are Poppy Pound and Kenna. Mm. And I have just been jamming it and listening to it over and over again. So y'all should too as well. Oh. Yeah, that's it for me.
Yeah. All right. My highlights really quickly. Speaking of white women doing scammy things, I've been watching the Theranos. I've been watching and reading everything Theranos this week. So there's a series on Hulu called The Dropouts, which I was watching, but I was kind of getting stressed out because it's fiction and I don't know much about the story. So I found myself pausing to Google while I was watching. So anyway, found out there's a documentary, thank God. So now I'm watching the documentary on HBO, because in the same way I'm hearing people talk about Elizabeth Holmes and I don't really care about her in any deep way, but I was like, there has to be more to this story. First of all, how do you create a $9 billion business that you were just trying to scam? How does that happen? It's not as simple as that, right? She had to have had a good idea is what I was even thinking from Sam. Yeah. I need to know how this happened, because this is honestly fascinating. But also another reason I want to know how it happened is because I'm wow, how much privilege must you mm-hmm. have, honestly, because to even get to that level, you know how many doors just opened for you without you having to do too much?
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to do too much. You don't have to prove too much. Yes, she went through some struggles based on Silicon Valley was really is a man's world, but still,
it's a man's world, and you're a fairly attractive woman who played into like sexist standards of beauty, and you know she's a brilliant person, so she knew the words that would fly.
Mm-hmm.
Right, like she knew the words that would fly. She knew how to work the charisma to make the right people not question. Mm-hmm. And it's when you're a white woman, it's quite easy to scam.
Yeah.
And that's the same thing with inventing with Anna. Yeah. Like the similar themes, and it's like, yeah, let's talk about this white woman that like scammed the system, but it's not the same thing if, and even with Tinder Swindler, it's mm-hmm. like it's not the same thing if black women or black folks go into spaces and they're like, I want this, and you're like, you have to prove the death of your life.
You may not even be able to get away with it, because the way you have to prove things, how are you going to get away with your scam?
It's not going to work.
Right.
It's not going to work.
Even just for the first phone call, phone call.
They hear your accent, they're like,
shut down. We get shut down.
How do you say your name again?
Bam.
How do you spell
it.
That?
Right.
Yeah, and I'm also just like, wow, what kind of world do we live in? Like, it also makes me question, I've always questioned, but just like big corporations, pharma, and just like how many lies are we constantly being told because people like Elizabeth Holmes are allowed to run $9 billion businesses?
Mm-hmm. And you know, this is a different topic for another day, but
mm-hmm. yes.
we talk
yes.
all day about the whole process of valuating companies. Because now that I have a startup, now that I'm a founder, I'm just like, the whole thing is a scam. Like, it's based on some probabilities and, like, some possibilities and, you know, how many people are actually willing to invest in you. So, like,
my favorite
statistic in policy is, like, Uber and Lyft are actually not profitable companies. They've actually never turned a profit. But they're billion-dollar valuated companies, right? They've never been profitable a day. But because of their potential... I'm like, people judge me by my potential.
Give me money.
Exactly. Give me free money based on my potential, because that's really how that's Silicon Valley. Anyway, but that's a different
thing. Anyway, that was taking over my mind this week. Also, I've really been loving in this week that it's been really hard to like focus at work. I love listening to like music without words, or just like study beats. So I've been listening to Lo-Fi Girl on YouTube, and she's also on Apple Music. Her stuff's also on Apple Music and maybe Spotify. But yeah, it's been really helpful for me to just kind of have that in the background while I'm trying to work. My other thing is TikTok recipes. Wow, y'all, I don't like spending time in the kitchen, and TikTok has been coming through with these 10-minute recipes. So anyway, my TikTok is like, that's what I use it for. It's just for like quick and easy to follow recipes. So yeah, if you're looking for easy recipes, get a TikTok account. Last highlight, Asha's new album. I've been playing it nonstop. Non-stop. I must have played it like 3 times yesterday. The Queen.
Killing it.
That's one. There's one song on there that she just sings so calmly. And I'm just like, everything you're saying is violent. I don't remember which song I'm thinking about right now, but I was just like, huh?
Nah, yes. she really has something with this album. Mm-hmm. I've loved Asha from time, but this album has really endeared me to her further, if that was possible. That's our episode. Those are our highlights. Celeb, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
We've loved having you. Yeah, if you can stick around with us for a minute or so, we're going to do a quick outro. And we'd like you to just kind of tell everybody where to find you. So thank you to everybody for listening. If you've made it this far, as usual, you're so great. Why don't you go ahead and subscribe so that you never miss an episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor, wherever else you listen to podcasts. We're there at Our Favorite Things, and favorite is spelled with a U. We're also on Instagram and Twitter. They're at Our Fave Pod. Salam, where can everybody find you?
Yeah, I am on Instagram. It's probably my favorite platform, at salam_afangideh, which is AFANGIDEH. I'm also on Twitter, but good luck finding me on Twitter. I don't use my real name, so y'all can take that on as a challenge. And,
oh my god.
And if you would like to learn more about my firm, Afangide Global, you can find that info out at afangideglobal.com.
Thank you. I will put everything in the show notes so y'all can easily like click and have access to it. Mophi, where can everybody find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Miss Badmus, on Instagram at Miss Badmus, as well as Mophi's Edition. So new name.
I've got a new alert. Name.
Rebrand all the time, but whatever.
And you all can find me on Instagram and Twitter. I'm there at TIIESE. I also write a blog that I'm hoping to turn into a book at sameforprince.com.
Yes.
Until next time, y'all, stay safe, be kind, and don't forget to find something to be grateful for. Bye.